the Lord together.
Sorry?
Oh, what time? 6:30. 6:30. Not 6 o'clock, 6:30 here together. Okay. So you probably know this, but what do you get if you pour down hot water down a rabbit's hole? Hot cross bunnies. What do you call a Easter bunny with a very large brain? An egghead. Which day of the week does Easter eggs hate the most? Fridays. What do you call a rabbit with fleas? Bugs Bunny. What sport are eggs good at? Running. They're bad, aren't they? They're really bad. This is my favourite, though. What do you get when you get 10 bunnies marching backwards in a line? A receding hairline. How did the bunnies and the eggs get to take over Easter? That's what I want to know. How did they get... And the what? And the donkey. Wherever you go, you look up a joke for Easter, it's all about bunnies and it's all about eggs. How did they get to railroad Easter? I'm not sure, but, well, I'm a little bit, because of course with rabbits and with eggs, it's kind of the symbolism of new life. And I want us to be thinking about this kind of new life that God has given us in Jesus Christ. We've done a series from January all the way through to Easter called Listening to Jesus. And we've been looking at some verses and some words that Jesus said to the disciples before he died. And I thought it'd be good for us just to return to that series and look at just a couple of words that Jesus says to his disciples after he has risen, after he came back to life. So if you've got a Bible nearby, turn to John 20. If you haven't, don't worry. It's only a few verses that I'm going to read to you. John 20, and we're just going to read verses 19 through to 22. And this is one of the many stories we could have read on Easter Sunday about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But this is the appearance, or one of the appearances of Jesus to his disciples. So it's John 20, verses 19 up to verse 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So it's those last couple of verses that I particularly just want to hang some thoughts on this Easter Sunday, if I may. Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit and forgive others. Peace be with you. Shalom, as the word would have been. The word that Jesus actually used as he entered into that place would have been the Hebrew word shalom. And it was the normal greeting. It was a hello, how you doing kind of greeting. But it was more than that. But actually, when you stop and think about the situation the disciples were in, it was a strange greeting. It was a strange thing for Jesus to say to the disciples, because the writer here, John, records for us that they were fearful. They were so fearful that they'd locked the doors so that no one could get in. They were afraid, having watched their Lord and their Saviour, their Master, the one that they followed for 3 years, die on a cross, a terrible death. They thought they would be the next ones. They were concerned that the next person who knocked on the door were the Jewish authorities coming to arrest them and ensure that they got killed, or certainly perhaps even put in prison. So in this moment when Jesus says to them, shalom, the disciples were not at peace. They were not at peace. Instead, they were at a place of confusion. They were a place of worried. They were fearful. They were panicking. They were perhaps disunited to some extent. They were afraid. They were upset. Perhaps, I mean, just think of the emotions that are running amongst the disciples. Perhaps a degree of disappointment, but even anger. Perhaps they were angry about the situation, that they had been put into this situation when they thought Jesus was going to be the great king and Messiah, and he ended up on a cross dead and laid in a tomb. And now they're thinking, well, what does that mean for us? Thanks a lot, Jesus. You really, really hung us out to dry. And so maybe there was an element of kind of annoyance with Jesus, or even anger. And Jesus, the risen Jesus, walks into the situation and says to them, Shalom. Shalom, peace be with you. The word shalom means much more than just peacefulness. And many of us yearn for peace, don't we? In this day and age when there's so much noise, so much activity, we just think, if only I could have 5 minutes peace. It'd be nice just to have 5 minutes peace, just 5 minutes rest. You know, some of you are smiling, thinking, oh, that'd be lovely. You know, Easter Sunday, just, I don't want an Easter egg, I just want peace for Easter Sunday. But it's not just being peaceful, it's not just being quiet. We're not talking about that, we're talking about something far more than that. The Hebrew word meant completeness, prosperity, welfare, a peace between people, that there was unity between people, particularly between man and God. A well-being, a welfare, a safety, an element, a place where you are safe and secure. All these things are wrapped up with the greeting peace. Actually, the greeting peace was a blessing. What the person was saying is, I bless you with peace. I long and hope, it's a prayer. I long and hope that you would have peace in your life, that you would have shalom in your life, that you have well-being and wholeness in your life, that you will be secure and safe, that you won't be afraid, but you'll be joyful. All those things are wrapped up in that kind of greeting, peace. And Jesus comes in the resurrection and he says to them, in the midst of their fear and their concern, peace, peace. This is the gift of Easter. Forget the bunnies, forget the eggs, although enjoy your eggs. I doubt if anyone's having rabbit for lunch. But here is the precious gift of shalom. That in the resurrection, Jesus says to each and every one of us, you might have peace. That you might have shalom in your life. Now, I don't know what you're going through in your situation. You may have come to this church this morning because, well, for all kinds of different reasons. But actually, you may be in a place of confusion. You may be in a place of disappointment. You may be in a place of fear. You may be in a place of uncertainty. You may even be in a place of anger. You might even actually be angry with God or Jesus. It's his fault. What's he doing? Why is my life such a mess? I want you to know that the risen Lord Jesus comes and stands with you today and says, Shalom. In my life, you might be still. In my life, you might be secure. In my life, you might have joy rather than anger. In my life, there is safety. So the first thing that Jesus says, just these simple words to the disciples, is peace. The second thing that he says to them is, I'm sending you. Now again, the first word, peace, was confusing in the context because actually they were in confusion themselves and worried. And the last thing they wanted to do was to go out. The second statement that Jesus says is, unlock the door, out you go. Out into the world, off you go. Face the teachers of the law, face the Jews, face those who want you dead. I'm sending you not in, but out. The disciples are not in, well, the disciples are not in the sending mood. They're in escape mode. That's what they're in. All they want to do is somehow find a big hole somewhere, get in it, and fill it in so no one else will ever discover them again. In fact, actually, we know two of the disciples, we don't know their names, but two of the disciples have already done that. Two of the disciples have actually got out of Jerusalem and they're heading to their home, Emmaus. They're going. They're not going to wait around to find out what happens. They're not going to wait for the Jews to turn up and knock on the door. They kind of crept out the back door and they're off. And they're thinking, we don't want any more to do with this. They are in escape mode. They don't want to be anything to do with Jesus because they think Jesus is dead. Jesus comes and stands amongst them. And in his risenness, in his resurrection, he says everything is now changed. Everything. You need not fear. You needn't hold the doors closed. You can actually open up the doors and step out into the world and proclaim the message of Jesus, that good news has actually taken place. And we're going to get to the good news bit in a moment or two. Do you ever get a parcel? Actually, we all get parcels nowadays. You know when a parcel arrives at your house? And particularly if you've got children, if a parcel arrives at your house and they see the parcel, they're like, wow, who's the parcel for? Who's the parcel for? And then they look at the name and they go, oh, it's not for me. It's for mum again, you know. Oh, it's always for mum, isn't it? You mums have always, you're always getting parcels. I'm sure we dads get parcels. And occasionally the kids get parcels as well. And I guess the first thing we're interested in when we get a parcel is what's inside. I guess the second thing we may be interested in, and I hope you're interested in, is who sent it? Who sent the parcel? Where did it come from? Who is the giver? Who is the sender? And Jesus says to disciples, look, you're going to be the parcel. You're going to be this precious message that goes out and is going to arrive in the world and people are going to go, wow, what's in the parcel? And they're going to open up the parcel, but they're also going to say, wow, this gift is so great. Who sent the gift? And Jesus says to them, I send the gift. It's me. And all of us who've declared our faith in Jesus, who recognize that he died for us, know that he's risen because we live in personal relationship with him. All of us, Jesus says to us, I'm sending you. He's still sending us. There should be no church with closed doors. There should be no church with locked doors. There should be no Christians gathering in little huddles, fearful and unsure of themselves. Instead, we as Christians, because Jesus rose, are sent out. And we are sent out to be the most precious gift that the world will ever have. That they might discover and know that God loves them in Jesus Christ. Is there no greater gift than that? Yeah, forget the bunnies. I don't know how big your Easter egg was, but it can't out... Big? No, that's the wrong word. It can't be greater than what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, I am sending you. But that he says also, did you note this? That there's a purpose in the sending. And this was in verse 23. He says these words, and these are remarkable words to the disciples. He says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This is such a remarkable statement because actually Jews didn't believe they could forgive sins. They thought the only person who could forgive sins is God himself. We know this because when Jesus heals a paralytic man, a man who's paralyzed, who's brought to him, the first thing he does is not to heal him, but he turns to the man and he says, son, your sins are forgiven. And because he says those words, all the people surrounding, the Jewish people that were surrounding, particularly the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they kind of looked at Jesus and went, you can't say that. Only God can forgive sins. But Jesus sets an example for his disciples that God has given him the responsibility and the authority to forgive sins, to forgive people. And then now he is risen. He turns to his disciples and he says this. He says, I give you the responsibility, the authority to go and tell the world that they might be forgiven. And you can forgive them. You can say to them, you can look Kim in the eye and say, Kim, you're forgiven. She said it herself. The precious gift of forgiveness. Whatever we might have gone through, whatever we may have done, whatever we may have said, whatever we may have thought, whatever crime we might have done, whatever damage we may have caused in other people's lives, whatever we have done, The precious gift of Easter, the precious gift of the resurrection, is that Jesus says to the church, go and tell people they can be forgiven. That you have the authority to tell them there is forgiveness. And you can be forgiven. And anyone comes to the church and says, you know, I need to be forgiven. Do you know what our answer is? You're forgiven. Because God has given us the responsibility to tell you, you're forgiven. You're free of it all. Isn't that great? Three people think that's great. The rest of you are still pondering that. Do you know, those three people are the worst sinners, and they know how great that is. You know, that's what... The rest of you are so holy that, well, yes, yes. We know we're forgiven. We didn't really do much, really. I tell you, the more and more God reveals to you the depth of your sin, the greater and greater forgiveness becomes. That great and precious gift to stand and have it all wiped away. Cleansed. That's the water that Kim went through. Washed away every single bit of it. I can't speak on your behalf. I can only speak for me. But there's so much sin in my life. When I was younger, I wasn't a tearaway, but I was bad enough. You know, my parents were very good at telling me what I did wrong. I knew that I was not a great and good person. That there was plenty of wrong in me. Sometimes I was great and good, but, you know, sometimes I wasn't. I knew that I had to be forgiven. But the older I've got, the strange thing has happened. I've begun to realise how deep my sin is in my life. You know, as a younger person, I kind of knew that I did things wrong. As an older person, I now know how wrong I am and how wrong I can be. How deep the desire in my heart to do things that hurt myself and hurt others. And I find it so easy, don't you? I find it so natural to kind of reach for things that I know actually aren't good for me and that will hurt others. To say things in anger or just frustration and annoyance. To be insensitive or whatever it might be. Whatever your weakness is, you can kind of add the words to the sentences that I'm saying. I discovered how deep it is. And the more that God shows me his grace and mercy, the more and more I realize what a sinner I am, what a wretch I am. And yet, here is the promise of God that he will cleanse me right to the very core, that I might be a new person. And this is the responsibility and authority placed upon the church, that we might go and say to the world, you can be forgiven. We are the ones that bring that message to you. What a great gift to receive on Easter Day. And new life starts all over again. This is the promise of Jesus as he stands before the disciples. And then finally, one last thing he says to them. He doesn't just say to them, he actually does it to them. He says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he breathes over them. That breathing is actually quite important because it takes every reader that understands Scripture right back to the very beginning of Scripture. When Adam and Eve are created, or Adam is created, and God creates Adam and God breathes life into his lungs. It's like he blows air into his lungs. Just as a balloon, to become a balloon, needs to be inflated. So we humans, our lungs have to be inflated, don't they? You know, when a child is born, they gasp their first gulp of air. And then they normally start to cry and you go, yeah! It's the only time you cheer when a child cries. When they're first born and they cry, you go, yeah, it lives! It lives! Hallelujah! Now stop crying, will you? But actually, we need a different breath of air in our lungs. It's one thing to be blown physical air into our lungs, and we're grateful for that, and that's a gift of God itself. But to have spiritual life into our spiritual souls, that the Holy Spirit might enter in, that we might really live. Do you know, you only really live when the Holy Spirit becomes part of you. Why? Because you become connected with God. You enter into that relationship with God in a way that you've never done before. And many of us who are Christians would testify and talk about a personal relationship with Jesus, the living Lord Jesus. And the only reason that we can do that, and people say, well, what's that about? What, how can you say that? Does he walk with you? Have you seen him? Does he talk to you? All I can say is that there is a precious gift that God gives to every believer. And it is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That Jesus might blow his Spirit into our lives. And as he blows his Spirit into our lives, we become connected with Jesus who is in heaven and with his Father in heaven as well. And suddenly there's this relationship with God that we have never had. I mean, forgiveness itself is a great gift. Yeah, you open up the parcel, there is forgiveness. Here is an even greater gift. That you and I might be in relationship with Almighty God, creator of the universe. And that he might know us, and that we might know him. Now that is a parcel, isn't it? That is a remarkable and amazing gift for Easter. And Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. On this Resurrection Sunday, this Easter Sunday, let me encourage you. Receive the gift of peace. Shalom to each and every one of you. Receive the gift of forgiveness. Purity. Everything washed clean. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you might know him and that he might know you. Let's pray together. Let's just take a moment just to be still, just for a few seconds. I just ask for the Spirit of God to speak into our lives, to make true the things that he is saying to us today, that we might hear from him, that we might receive from him, that we might give thanks to him. Lord Jesus, thank you for your life. Thank you in your resurrected life, your risen life, that we might receive true peace, that we might receive true forgiveness, and that we might receive the Holy Spirit. We bless you and we thank you. Amen.